Part two of our conversation with quarterback throwing coach Greg Pennelly, Pennelly Passing Academy, talking Brock Purdy. What should it look like? What are the expectations coming back from serious elbow injury that Brock Purdy has gone through? And what did the tape tell us about his rookie season? Coming up on today's Locked On 49ers.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker at BD Peacock at Eric underscore Crocker. Thanks everybody for making us your first listen on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Big ups to the everydayers out there. And if you are an everydayer, you probably already listened to Tuesday's episode, or maybe you caught the full thing on YouTube, broken up into two parts here on the audio pod. Greg Pennelly of Pennelly Passing Academy joining us here. We talked a lot about Trey Lance and the new mechanics on Tuesday. Today, we're talking a little bit more about Brock Purdy, what he looked like last year. What did the tape tell us about Brock Purdy? Is Brock Purdy a dink and dunk quarterback? And what to expect from him in year two post UCL surgery on this episode of Locked On 49ers. I hope you enjoy. Kyle Shanahan's offense is what I call aggressively intermediate. Like, he puts a lot of throws in the same part of the field. The defense knows those throws are coming too. And so the robber safety can get you. And I was impressed with Brock's ability to not throw that many interceptions. And, you know, maybe some were dropped. But I think as far as the dink and dunk conversation that's happening here, the 49ers are aggressively intermediate. So there's not going to be a lot of check down throws is what, you know, I consider dink and dunk, because you're just kind of like easy throws. You're just dropping it off, letting your running back run. And there's a lot of catch and run stuff in the 49ers offense, but there's a lot of difficult throws that aren't deep balls necessarily, but they're difficult throws in tight windows in the intermediate and even the short area sometimes. So that's where I think Jimmy Garoppolo excelled, and I think that's where Brock Purdy was really good as well. And, you know, and then Brock Purdy making some plays on top of that. But then you mentioned some of those other throws, the difficult throws, and you do see a lack of velocity at times. And so for me, the dink and dunk conversation is not like, can he throw the ball deep, or what the yards per attempt or intended air yards are? It's, man, when you got to make this one throw, can he make it? And that's where I think the limit is on Brock Purdy. It's not so much dink and dunk. It's just like, put on the tape. It's not that hard. You see it. You see what he does well, and you see that there's some throws that he just can't make versus some of the other best quarterbacks in the league.
Right. And so I think also I got a question for both of you guys. And then, you know, while we're on this conversation of the dink and dunkers, and I know that everybody, you know, you see the Twitter conversations going today, and it seems like everybody's talking about it. Where is it, what we see on the field? Is it the sabermetrics or the stats, the attempt air yards, whatever your argument is? There's going to be some sort of data, right, that's going to back it. And then there's going to be a ton of opinions that might go like this with the data, and you want to agree, but you don't want to agree, and you have different opinions and feelings about a certain somebody, whatever. But based off the stats that are given, and I think one of them is like attempted air yards, right? And I know there's attempted air yards versus the completion. Okay, that's fine. Would you consider Jimmy G a dink and dunker?
Based off the film. I didn't see him check down. Like, so it's weird because I didn't see Jimmy check down. He just worked a certain area of the field, and that was where he excelled. So
shit, I wish he would have checked down a little bit more sometimes. Well, but
yeah. Last year when the 49ers traded for Christian McCaffrey, the week before that, we did a podcast talking about how I think that would help, because the 49ers need to throw to the running backs more. Then they trade for Christian McCaffrey, and all of a sudden they run the offense through a running back. I was like, well, could the other running backs not catch at all? Like, how did it go from zero to everything?
Wow. Some of them can, but we know that they're very similar to DBs, where they don't really have that the greatest hands.
Right.
So there's – no, he falls in the, right along in that conversation. That's too. Fine. He's a 6'2 DB. 6'2 DB. Come on now. And a great catch. But anyways, going along with that, is Tom Brady a dink and dunker?
Yeah.
It started to creep that way last year. He's like, I'm 45. I need the ball out of my hands.
But through his career, right? But through his career.
Definitely not. And by the way, throws a great deep ball. And that's so one of the things that happens with the Brock Purdy conversation is like, it wasn't that he wasn't good. I just look at, if you just name any great quarterback in the league now or in the past, Brock Purdy's arm is not as good as that guy you're thinking of right now. And so that's what worries me is like, okay, you don't worry. You're like, we're done. Brock Purdy's the guy. That's it. And now it's like, okay, Trent Williams retires and, you know, Kittle gets older and ages out. And then it's like, okay, you're just going to hitch the entire team. And is he going to carry you like Patrick Mahomes does the Chiefs, right? He just doesn't have that level of arm talent. And as good as he played and as fun as it was to watch, and maybe he does turn out to be the guy and he is so efficient and such a playmaker everywhere else that he's the next, whatever, Drew Brees or Joe Montana. That could be the possibility, but it's not about dink and dunk at all. It's just about there's some things that he can't quite do that almost every other really good NFL quarterback can do with some throws. And so that's what just gives me a little bit of pause. And I want to just wait and see before just crowning Brock Purdy as the guy.
Yeah. And I was a little surprised. Like once the dink and dunk thing came up, and I know it came up a couple weeks ago and I was screwing around. I was like, oh, you know, Jimmy really is top three. Some list came out about air yards or passing yards per attempt. And I was honestly surprised that I just looked it up again today and it was like, he's third all time in air yards per attempt through his career. Jimmy G is third all time. And I was like, what? Like, where, what are we, and I get it. There's the completion differences, but it's like Otto Graham and Sid Luckman were ahead of him. And then it was Jimmy G.
You know why?
Pat Mahomes, but I was shocked, honestly.
You know why I think that is? Because again, for most of his time with the 49ers, he did not check down. So everything that he threw, even though it wasn't deep, it was within 7 to 15 yards. So every one of your attempts, even though you're not throwing the ball like vertically a whole lot, and then obviously Kyle Shanahan would take shots here and there. But I think, you know, it's clear, right? If you look at the numbers, Jimmy G took the least amount of deep shots in the NFL. But everything was 7 to 15 yards. Where other quarterbacks, even the Patrick Mahomes, you'll see jump off to the running backs, throws to the running backs, quick out to Travis Kelce. You'll see a lot of those. And then you'll see the big ball.
The one big shot that happens. Yeah.
It's not like he's throwing the big ball every single play. But Jimmy Garoppolo was very consistent with 7 to 15 yards at every single attempt.
No, that was his. That was his money yardage for sure. Yeah. That was his. He was dialed. You know, there's not. People say anybody could make those throws. It's like, I beg to differ. Like, watch on Sundays. You know, just because somebody else makes a bigger throw or a longer throw doesn't mean that they're necessarily making all those other ones underneath. So I thought he did a good job with those things. Those are, you know, it's at the end of the day, I think that there's going to be numbers that support, and then there's going to be opinions, and they're going to crisscross every which way. And at the very end of it, you got to flip on the tape and you see what you see, right? Can player A make every single throw that you need him to make on the field? Can player B make most of the throws, but you know you're going to get some stuff along the way? Or player C that you know can make almost all of them, but runs the offense really well? You know, and I feel like that's kind of where Brock Purdy is. Like you expect him to do most of the stuff pretty well. But he's going to run the offense how Kyle wants him to run the offense.
Have you ever seen his scouting report?
Yeah. So, and I watched some of his college tape too.
So I'm going to read Brock Purdy's scouting report and tell me if this, you know, what this means to you.
All right, more on the what's the scouting report and how has it maybe changed? How different is Brock Purdy now than the guy that was coming out of Iowa State next? Today's episode of Locked On 49ers is brought to you by FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers at FanDuel could get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. So make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs. You're getting $1,000 back in bonus bets for new customers if your first bet doesn't win. There's no better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sports book. And we're not just talking about NBA playoffs either. There is NHL playoffs. We've got Major League Baseball all summer long, every single day. And NFL futures. I know it's not NFL season, but there's endless ways to bet on the 2023 NFL season right now at FanDuel. So get that no sweat first bet. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon to get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA.
And obviously, a scouting report does not mean exactly how someone's career will turn out. It just tells you what they think of the player as a prospect. All right. And then it's on them. However, whatever it says as a prospect, it's on them to go, you know, play above that, even with maybe some of their limitations or things that they excel at. All right. But here's an overview on his on Brock Purdy and the scouting report, according to NFL.com. Four-year starter who was able to improve upon a stellar sophomore or who was never able to improve upon a stellar sophomore campaign. Purdy is a burly pocket quarterback who needs a play-action-based offense where he can rely on timing over release quickness and arm strength. So, I mean, just that first line right there is telling you, hey, he doesn't have the biggest of arms, but if he has an offense that he can rely on play-action passes to help him be more efficient or throw to certain areas in the field, then he can be good. And to me, just right there alone, that says exactly what he's been with the 49ers. I mean, they kind of hit the nail on the head with what he's successful doing. I think, and we've talked about it, Greg, 49ers drop back passing game is maybe the weakest in the NFL, would you say? I mean, just pure drop back. We can just drop back to the ball.
Yeah, you know, and it's, I mean, I would say it's below average at least. I don't know if it's the weakest, but it's below average probably. You know, they talk about the mile per hour thing, right? That was, you know, Will, when we had Will on the podcast, he had talked about how they got 5 more miles an hour out of him. So he was throwing 51 miles an hour at the combine at the stupid board or the bag that has nothing to do with anything football related, right? It's just like you go to the minor league baseball game and you throw the ball as hard as you can on the radar gun. And he's like, well, can you throw a strike? You know? So it's like, what does that really matter anyways? But it just shows, okay, the kid can whip it or he can't. And he was 51. Then you got Jake Hayner is a guy, obviously I trained, who was 59 this year, and Levis was 59 and DTR was 61. It's like, okay, that's fine. But to think that they're going to throw the ball that hard in a football game is, I would be fairly surprised how often guys would throw at 100% and really try and pump it. If you are, you probably shouldn't be throwing that route you're going to throw anyways, because you're obviously doing it to try and make up for something, whether it's timing. Now, unless you're throwing a Hail Mary, right? That's different, but you're not, you're throwing it with trajectory, not a laser 10 yards away. So it goes back to like, well, how was Peyton Manning's arm strength? I think in his early years, his arm was pretty good. Then his later years, he had to be really good at anticipating. There's ways around it. But the problem I think that we see with Niner fans in general and what people are hungry for is they're tired of the ways around it. Let's get the answer and stick with the answer. And who's the answer currently there? Well, it's not Brock Purdy, right? Then I'm saying to the Niner fans and what they want. It's not Brock Purdy because he can't make all the throws. He went 8-0, but he can't make every single throw and rip it on the money. Trey has shown that he could do most of those things, and he has the livest arm on the roster probably, but he can't stay healthy. Then you got Sam Darnold now who's in the picture. It's like, okay, well, this is kind of like, I might get a lot of flack for this. Is he going to be the missing piece? What's going to happen? Does Sam and, or does Brock and Trey shoot themselves in the foot and then Sam Darnold sneaks in and becomes a starter? I don't know. You know, I don't know if, you know, if what's going to happen. Does Trey stay healthy? Does Brock stay healthy? Is Brock going to return on time? You know, so it's like, I feel like everybody wants an answer, and we've been starving for an answer because Jimmy, yes, did really well, went under, you know, he has a really good winning a win-loss record as a 49er starter, but it wasn't always the sexiest stuff. It didn't have a big arm. He was limited in certain things. Was he limited because Kyle limited him? Kyle said that he's one of the better throwers on the planet. There's all these different things, and then we see what we see, right? But I think that the Niners just want the total package. The Niners fans want the total package, and I feel like Trey would be the closest thing to that total package. But we just haven't seen enough of Trey to get us there. And I don't know if we are going to see. I hope we do, but I really don't know if we are. You know, and I said, it wouldn't surprise me if Sam Darnold tries to make his way up. I mean, what else is he going to do? He got put in a crappy position right when he got drafted to he got drafted to the Jets.
Yeah.
Bad team. Went to the Panthers. They trade away everybody. They're a shit show, right?
Fire
so it's
coach.
Like,
yeah.
Fire
and
the
neither
coach.
One of those so coaches like, are in the NFL anymore.
Exactly.
Coaching quarterbacks.
So has he really had a fair shot? I think that Sam Darnold's a good thrower of the football. He was at USC. USC was not as good when Sam Darnold was there as they are right now. I think a lot of people would agree. The offense under Clay Helton was not as sexy as it is under Lincoln Riley. So I feel like he's been put in these predicaments that he's had to be the superstar. All this pressure is on him as a quarterback since college because USC needed him to be that. The Jets needed him to be that. The Panthers were starving for it, right? And now he's with the Niners, and you're like, well, the kid, yeah, here's Chris. The kid now has a supporting cast. He's got an offensive-minded coach. He's got a guy that's done things with quarterbacks that that other people probably didn't think he was going to do. Look what he did with Brock Purdy. Look what he did with Jimmy G. Look what he's done so far. I mean, what we've seen with Trey, they've done some good things offensively from what we've seen, but there hasn't been enough of it. So I'm intrigued, honestly. I know a lot of people are going to say, hey, Sam Darnold's not the answer. I'm not saying he is, but I'd say we're in the same position, or realistically speaking, asking you two, are the Niners any better at the quarterback position right now? Are they in a better spot right now than they were at this time last year?
Yeah, I would say yes in that they've seen one of their quarterbacks play well.
Well, they had Jimmy Garoppolo this time last year, so you saw him play well.
Yeah, well, so Brock's cheaper, and Brock played better in his stretch than Jimmy did in any of his stretches. So, and look, and a lot of people will take this as, you know, anti-Brock Purdy. I just
Croc looked like he didn't like that. Croc looked like he didn't like that. He wanted to say something. There was a rebuttal coming.
Wasn't Croc the one that was disrespecting Jimmy on his podcast like last week, Greg?
No.
He's always disrespecting. You know, ever since I got fired from Croc's podcast, I just don't even listen anymore, honestly.
Don't listen to Greg, y'all.
So like, honestly, the whole Jimmy and Brock conversation, I thought was like, it was fun to watch. I think it was like it's the hot new thing, right? And it's the new pretty girl that's showing up. And then after a while, you're like, okay. Like, we've seen enough, right? Yep. I feel like that was kind of Brock Purdy. And I think that's the fear that people have. It's like, well, we got to see it, and the Niners are winning, and Jimmy did good. Jimmy was having arguably his best season. He gets hurt. Brock comes in. You're like, oh, this is nice. This is refreshing. We see a little scrambling. We see some off-platform stuff. But then you look at the stat lines at the end of the game, you're like, oh, it's the same thing we've been seeing for the last 4 years anyways. So how much better is it really, or is it just cuter right now?
Greg said it, not me, so y'all don't bash me in the comments or anything like that.
On tape, it looked better to me. And, like, that's the thing. Is like, I like what I saw from Brock Purdy. If Brock Purdy's the best guy, and he's the guy, I'm with it. Let's go with Brock Purdy. I just want to see the Trey thing through just in case. And then we'll know. It's like, okay, Trey wasn't the guy. Brock's the guy. We'll see if, you know, maybe a lack of arm strength and some balls floating, and if he misses, there's some throws he can't make. We'll see if it even matters. Because last year, it didn't matter. And so that's what we'll find out with Brock Purdy. I love what I saw from Brock Purdy. Just want to see it through with Trey a little bit longer.
No, I agree with you. You have to. With everything that you gave up for him, I feel like you have to. Otherwise, you should have traded him. I mean, would have taken a huge loss on it, but you should have traded him. Because I saw today that they're saying that the Niners or the front office is adamant that Brock is going to be the starter when he comes back in September. They said that one of the people on NFL Network had said it earlier. It's like, well, okay. Like, I can see it, but why not just have this thing be a full-blown competition? And if he's not going to be ready till September anyways, how do you know you're going to get the same thrower of the football come September?
Yeah, don't rush it. Brock Purdy. I mean, it was an amazing story for the 2022 San Francisco 49ers. Hate how it ended with the injury. Now coming back from the injury, what can we expect in year two from Brock Purdy with our throwing guru, Greg Pennelly, next? That's the other thing I wanted to ask you about here as it pertains to Brock Purdy, Greg. Have you dealt with anybody coming off an elbow injury like that, UCL injury? What have you seen from some injuries like this, and how quick do guys come back? How quick do they bounce back to how they were throwing? And do you ever see guys throwing even better than they were before?
I knock on wood. Hopefully I don't have to deal with any. There was the Josh injury this year, the LCL injury where, you know, it was, I don't know if it was like the sprain. He said he was fine, right? But he's always going to say he could have it hanging off of his body and he's still going to say he's fine because he's a competitor. I've dealt with some of the baseball guys at our facility that have done it. It's usually a long process. It's pretty strenuous. The recovery part of it and watching those guys go through, I'm talking baby throws of like 5 yards with a baseball and then 10 yards. It looks painful to start out. You know, it's not, I wouldn't want to deal with it. And it's the same. I did my knee, ACL, MCL, meniscus. And I was very aware mentally. It was always kind of in the back of my head for probably 3 or 4 years thereafter I did it. Just like the thoughts of, what if it happens again? Or if I take too many, if I do too much and cut the wrong way, is it going to happen again? So I would think that that's probably going to happen in mentally, you know, if he throws it too hard, is something going to happen with his arm, you know, starting out for the first 3 or 4 months, or 5 months of that recovery until he can really go, fully at it. So I can imagine mentally that he's probably going through it and he's curious on how it's going to happen. I know Jimmy, right? Jimmy had the arm injury. Or the shoulder injury. And I told Crocker last year, I'm like, shoot, I think that Jimmy's throwing the ball harder than he's ever thrown it now. And it looked like that during training camp. It was like the Henry, Roland Gardner thing where, all of a sudden he's just got it, you know, he's, mm-hmm. he's whipping the ball around the field. So that's kind of how I felt. There's some people that I know there's obviously other NFL guys that I'm sure you guys have talked about where they went and had the surgery and they've come back and said they were better throwers than ever. So I think it is a possibility. You're going to rehab your arm and you're going to do different things with your arm and exercises that are going to strengthen it that would probably allow you to be a better thrower overall. So it wouldn't surprise me, but to say, you know, is he going to have a gun like Trey Lance? No, probably not, unless he's just a magician with a football, but I would doubt it.
And he definitely can't go the other way, too, because we talked about that extra 5 miles per hour he gained from the scouting report that Croc read to what we saw. Maybe he was throwing the ball a little bit better than he did in college and helped him play up a little bit. And obviously, he's got some playmaking ability. He came in. It wasn't too big for him. He did whatever Kyle Shanahan told him to do, which I think Kyle Shanahan loves in a quarterback, which is why Kyle's like, maybe I did find my guy. So we'll find out. It's going to be a fascinating situation. I'm kind of glad Brock can't play this summer at camp early, or at least won't be a full participant, it doesn't look like, in camp. And we'll get to see Trey kind of run the show. Like, okay, is he different? Is this Trey Lance 2.0? Is he running the team? Is he a leader? Is he in charge? Is he looking better? Is he in full control? Because then things will get serious. And then if he's not that guy, Brock gets back, he's healthy, and I think the decision will be a lot easier for Kyle and and everybody involved.
Or is it going to be that easy with Sam Darnold on the roster?
Well, he's breaking case of emergency. I have no expectations. I don't think Sam Darnold sees a clear picture out there. And look, maybe he could have been a great quarterback and got ruined, because I think that happens a lot in the NFL, being in bad situations. And I have no doubt he'll be in his best. The best Sam Darnold could be with the 49ers. And is that, you know, is that enough? Is that good enough to win some games over a stretch? Is he throwing less interceptions? Maybe, but I don't think he sees the picture as clear as Jimmy did. And Jimmy threw too many interceptions. So I don't know. It'll be really interesting. But I think for me, Sam Darnold is a break in case of emergency. And I just get that vibe from him. I think a lot of people like him because he's a good dude. But I don't know if he really he seems like he doesn't care that much.
He's very low key, huh?
I don't want to say he doesn't care or anything like that, but just, I don't know. He's not like that guy who's ready to cut somebody's throat if he doesn't get the starting job. I just feel like he's kind of like laid back, and he's a guy that people like, and he's got some talent. So it's like, yeah, let's see what we got in Sam Darnold.
He comes off as that. I think if you were to be sitting next to him, he would probably say, dude, there's no way this guy that can't play three straight games and this other guy that's coming back from his elbow falling off is going to beat me out. Like, that's probably most just people that have any type of competitiveness in them are thinking more so along those lines. Like, that's what he should be thinking. I'm not saying that's how Trey is thinking, that's how Kyle's thinking, that's how Purdy's thinking. But if I'm Sam Darnold, it's like, you guys threw me in a situation to where now I got George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, Juwan Jennings, Kyle Juszczyk, Ray McCloud, Kyle Shanahan calling the plays. And this is the best situation I've been in. And you think I'm going to let these guys beat me out? That's what his mindset. That's what it should be. And I bet if you were to talk to him in private, it would probably sound more like that than, you know, I just want to learn the playbook and, you know, do my best out there and do whatever Kyle needs me to do. And he's talking to his buddies like,
do you anticipate him pressing the other guys in?
Do I anticipate it? Well, all I can kind of go off of is he's just been a bad NFL quarterback with some splashy plays.
You can be as confident as you want, but if you roll out there and you're playing against 11 defenders plus three other ghosts, it's not going to turn out well for you. That's what worries me about Sam Darnold is, you know, what kind of picture does he see? By the way, your guy Josh Allen, I saw a YouTube video of Josh Allen playing golf with Sam Darnold, and I believe Kyle Allen was there as well. Yep. And they're doing like this,
the Bob Does Sports thing.
Yeah, Bob Does Sports. That's what it was. It was pretty fun to see those guys out there. And Josh, it looks like he could smash the hell out of a golf ball too. I mean, that guy's a monster. Yeah,
no, he can.
You're looking at his caddy.
Yeah, I caddied for him in Tahoe a couple of years ago. But I played golf with Josh early March. Him and Kyle down there at Josh's Country Club in Southern California, Yeah, he can hit the hell out of the ball. He's got a lot of juice behind it. Kyle wasn't bad, but Josh is definitely a long ball hitter. Short game mistakes cost him usually, but no, he's a good golfer. He's not bad.
What's your handicap, Greg?
Right now, it's a 1.5.
Oh, dang. Okay, we're talking about a near scratch golfer over here. I didn't realize.
Yeah. He's always out there. I give him that.
Look, I could see how a mechanics guy would take to playing golf, dude, because we're talking about mechanics. It's the most maddening thing out there, and you don't have any leeway. That half a degree can really screw you.
Yeah, no, it's very similar. Lower half, right? You're using the ground for you know, to create rotational force, and you're trying to have lag with your elbow, and it's very similar, you know, throwing a football and being rotational. So, yeah, when I tore my ACL – obviously, a lot of quarterbacks play golf, and I played golf with my roommate in college. He was a big-time golfer, so we were always competing, and I was shooting, like, high 80s in college. And then my last year of college, tore my ACL. And then at that rate, I was like, well, I know I'm going to be playing golf the rest of my life. So I started watching YouTube videos and just started practicing. And I didn't have a ton of money, so I'd just go to the range and hit balls for 10 bucks, 12 bucks. And then I eventually moved to San Jose and I went to the range all the time there across from Levi's, where the driving range was and where the parking lot seems to be half the time now, and just got better and better. And yeah, eventually got down to like a 1.2 or something like that, but I haven't got to a scratch yet. So I'm on the hunt.
No, you get there. You still haven't reached prime golf age yet either.
That's true.
It's funny because quarterbacks, kickers, pitchers always make really good golfers, and then the hitters are, you know, hit and miss. You know who's the worst golfers, Greg?
Receivers and defensive backs?
Yeah, DBs for sure.
I'm definitely not a good enough mover to be. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I've tried to hit the ball. I mean, I've gone to Topgolf, and I know how much work it takes to be good in golf, or at least what I think and what I hear, and just from how bad I am at it right now, that I just shy away from jumping in altogether because I'm very competitive. So once I start, I'm not stopping.
Yeah, if you get the bug, it's over.
keep that thing going. I have to get like legit lessons. And
it's addictive.
We talk about Trey Lance kind of reworking mechanics and things like that. I got to go to somebody that has to, hey, this is how you hit a golf ball, you know?
Yeah, you're going to have to break down from zero. But I would not be shocked at all if Frontline Sports in Arkansas all of a sudden has a golf simulator and a little golf net in there and be like, hey, wait, what happened? He's like, oh, Croc took up golf. So
yes, sir.
Break out of the corner. All right, we'll let you out of here, Greg. We did a little bonus coverage here on
it's all good.
The live YouTube channel. Appreciate all of your insight. And can you tell the folks out there that might have a prospective quarterback where to find you and get coached up?
Yeah, they can find me. Instagram is probably – I'm probably the most active on Instagram. I get on Twitter, obviously, during the season and some stuff during the offseason. But Instagram is just Greg or at Greg Pinelli. And then the Twitter is at Greg_Pinelli. So you can shoot me a message on either of those if you know anybody that wants to come out. Obviously, we're in the Central Valley. And then I'm going to start doing some stuff in the Bay Area here pretty soon. But from Fresno to Modesto and then everything in between. And then I got guys that come from all over. So – and one guy coming from Arkansas, Strand, is coming out from Arkansas in 2 weeks. Yeah. So, yeah, we got guys coming from all over.
Fantastic stuff. All right. Thanks, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen every single day. Make sure you are subscribed up on YouTube and everywhere you get your podcast. Croc and I back tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.
Subscribe to this video.